Hey, you're listening to the Casper Faith Podcast, where you can catch up on and re-listen to encouraging messages shared by the staff here at the church. Thank you so much for joining us. We hope these words inspire you, challenge you, and expose you to God's love in a meaningful way. Enjoy the message.
As we've been looking at popular songs, songs that you hear, I can't believe how many times over the past few weeks I've heard these three songs in our series at the coffee shop, in the store, at the hotel I was at for a pastor's conference. And we're taking these songs that have messages that are very common, but we're extracting spiritual truth out of them. And Jesus did that back in the New Testament. He would take stories, he would take concepts, things that people were familiar with, and he did so, and he would teach a truth to make the lesson sticky, to make it memorable, so that when people would see a fig tree or a mustard seed or whatever it was that he was talking about, that that lesson would stick and they would remember, oh yeah, Jesus said this. And so what we're doing in this series is we're taking some of these songs and we're extracting biblical truth, spiritual lessons, and so that it can help us just to see, maybe remember what God is saying to us. And our hope is that you will have been encouraged through this series. In week one, we talked about a million reasons. And we said there will be a million reasons. The enemy will give you a million reasons to walk away from what's right, from what God has for you, from what God wants you to do. You just need one good reason to stay, and that reason is Jesus. When Jesus was on the cross, you were enough for Jesus to stay on the cross. So whatever you're going through, Jesus is enough for you. Last week, as we talked about scars to your beautiful, we noted how you don't have to be perfect, that our value doesn't come from what we look like, what we do. So much of the time, we base our self-esteem on what other people say about us or upon our performance or how other people judge our performance. And we mentioned how if we do that, there's it'll never be enough. But in Christ, Christ sees you as a masterpiece. He sees you as an exquisite, special work of art. And God loves you the way you are, and he has prepared good deeds, good works for you to do. Now, this morning, we're going to kind of continue upon really the second part of the verse, because we focused on your identity last week. You're a masterpiece. How many would say you're a masterpiece this morning? You're a perfect 10. You are awesome just the way you made you. Nudge your neighbor and say, you're a masterpiece. We wanted to drive that down in you like a pylon, deep down in the ground of your soul, to root you in that. Because when you get this concept that I'm a masterpiece, then you realize God can use you to do great, awesome, and incredible things. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. And take a look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. I actually want you to turn to 1 Corinthians 1. But Ephesians 2, 10 was what we talked about last week. And it says that we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do good things he planned for us long ago. Today, we want to focus on that part. Last part, we focus on the masterpiece. Today, we want to focus on the good things God wants for you to do, to accomplish in this world. You see, when God made us, he was saying, what talents and abilities do I want to give Joe and Raylene and Neil and John and Sandra and Tina to do those things that I've called them to do? What gifts do I want to give Barbara and Sarah and Elsie and Dale and everyone else? What gifts do I want to give them for those acts, those accomplishments that have eternal significance and value? He said, what things do I want to pour into Jennifer and into Perry and into Lucy that are going to prepare them to do what I have established and ordained them to do? God made you specifically. The first statement in your notes says, God designated you to accomplish specific tasks on earth that have eternal value. God has designated you. He prepared good works, specific works for you to accomplish that are going to have an eternal impact in the lives of other people, that are going to affect the destiny, the souls of dozens, hundreds, even thousands of people. Did you realize that you're that special? That God has things He wants you to accomplish and do? You are that special. You are a masterpiece. Now, the truth is, we all have a spiritual enemy, the devil, and the Bible calls him the father of lies. And the devil will say to you, who do you think you are that you can do anything great for God? There's nothing really special about you. There's nothing that great. How many of you feel like sometimes you're just not talented enough, just not smart enough, you just don't have enough horsepower to really do something awesome and powerful for God? Be honest, raise your hand. How many have felt that way? Many of you have. Well, this morning, we're going to be talking about that. And here's the thing. When you say, God, I'm not special enough, I'm not talented enough, you know what? You're not arguing with me. You're arguing with God. Because God says, you are a masterpiece. I have created you to do good things. And really, that's what the message of this song was all about. We have the lyrics there in your notes. It says, I've been reading the books of old, legends and the myths, Achilles and his gold, Hercules and his gifts, Spider-Man's control, and Batman with his fists. How many Batman fans we have out there? Isn't he the best superhero of all time? Yep, thank you. Yep, amen. You can say that. But clearly, I don't see myself on that list. I don't see myself as being a superhero, as being super talented, as having super abilities. She said, where do you want to go? How much you want to risk? I'm not looking for somebody with some superhuman gifts. I'm not looking for some superhero, some fairy tale bliss, just something I can turn to, somebody I can kiss, something just like this. And friends, God is saying to us this morning, I'm not looking for superheroes. I'm not looking for super talented people, people that have super abilities, incredible abilities. I'm just looking for something like you. God's not looking for the ultra mega talented put together person to be used of God. He's just looking for people that are open and willing and available and say, God, here am I, send me. Our text this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we're going to pick it up in verse 26. This is what Paul says. He's writing it to the Corinthian church, the Corinthian believers. And he says, brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God, everyone say, but God. Now here's the thing, whenever you see that in the Bible, that's a time to get excited. Because what it usually means is that what comes next means at least things are going to get at least a little bit better for us, if not a lot better for us. He says, this is how it was. You were just normal, ordinary, but God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are. How many of you remember playing kickball during recess on the playground, and they would line all the kids up against the wall and they would pick? You know, and you know, they'd always pick the fastest kids, the kids that could kick the best, the kids that could catch the best, and you just didn't want to be the last kid picked. How many remember those days, huh? Here's the thing. When God says, when I'm picking, He doesn't say, you're the fastest, you're the strongest, you're the best. No, He doesn't look at that. The Bible says He chose the ones who were weak. He chose the ones that were lowly. He chose the ones that didn't measure up. And everyone says, oh, look how great they are. No, God chose those that the world says don't have it. They don't have what it takes. So if you feel you don't have what it takes, you're in a great place. That's something to get excited about. If you feel I don't have what it takes to be used of God, hey, God says right here, I've chosen those that don't feel they have it. And we forget we're masterpieces. We are masterpieces, and God uses us. You don't have to be super ultra talented to be mightily used of God. Why has God said, I'm not necessarily going for the biggest, the best, the brightest, the cream of the crop? Take a look at verse 29, so that no one may boast before him. If God chose the super smart, high-powered people, then when God moves and God works, because here's the thing, whenever someone is healed or someone is saved or God does a work, someone's delivered, it is God who does it, not a person. But if God used the super talented, high-powered people, then you know what would happen? Look what I did. I did that. That was me. Look what I accomplished in my power ability. And God says, I've chosen the lowly things so that I can receive glory. So that I can receive glory from it. It goes on in verse 30, and I'm going to switch from the NIV now to the New Living Translation. That says, God has united you with Christ Jesus. For our benefit, God made him, Jesus, to be wisdom itself. Christ made us right with God. He made us pure and holy, and he freed us from sin. Friends, Jesus made us right before God. It's not our good works. It's not by us going to church and us praying and us reading and us doing being good people and trying to help people out. That is not what makes us right with God. It's what Jesus did. Jesus did for you and for me something we couldn't do ourselves. Because the Bible says that sin separates us from God. Sin splits us from God. It destroys a relationship with him. And Jesus did what did for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. He lived a perfect life, and then he died in our place because the wages of sin is death. And because Jesus took my place, he was my substitute on the cross, he died for my sin, he died for your sin, he made us right before God. And as he's made us right before God, we need to give God all the glory and recognize what God has done for us, that we would be under the judgment of God. We would be under the punishment of judgment and God's wrath against sin if it wasn't for Jesus and what he did. And so we give praise to God. We thank God for what he's done for us. And everything that he empowers us to do, we give him glory. And as it rounds out the last part of the verse there, verse 31, therefore the scriptures say, if you want to boast, boast only about the Lord. We are to give God glory for those good works that he's prepared for us to do, as Ephesians 2:10 talked about. In your notes, faith in Christ, when you put your faith in Jesus, when God makes you right and he cleanses your sins and he makes you a child of God, faith in Christ makes extraordinary heroes out of ordinary people. You say, well, I'm not wise, I'm not smart, I'm not talented, I wasn't born to a great family that had this great spiritual background and all the right stuff, they knew all the right things. I didn't come from that. And you know what God says? It doesn't matter. When you put your faith in me, I can make you extraordinary. You might feel you're ordinary. There's nothing significant about you, but you're extraordinary when you put your faith in Christ. How many of you like a good underdog story? You know, you got to love the little shepherd boy, David, going up against the big, tall giant. I mean, the Bible is full of underdog stories where God takes the candidate who doesn't look like they stand a snowball's chance in Hades, okay, and yet they come out on top. I mean, you look at the Bible, and God uses the underdog. And so you may not feel wise, you might not feel talented and all this stuff, but God uses those that feel unequipped, that don't feel like they measure up. In your notes, there's this saying, maybe, I don't know if it's in your notes or not, it should be, you may not be who you want to be, but because of Christ, you're exactly who God needs you to be. You may not be who you want to be. I wish I was smarter. I wish I had this personality. I wish I had this gift. I wish I could sing and dance like Pastor Josh. I mean, I wish I could dance. I'm white. I mean, I can't dance. I can't jump. You know, the doctor told me when I had to quit playing basketball because I had white man's disease. I can't jump, okay? It's like, yeah, there's things about us we all want to change. We all wish we could do differently. But God has made you exactly who He wants you to be, because God uses the weak. He uses the lowly. He uses those who feel that they don't measure up. So if you feel that way about yourself, you're in a great place. How many are in a great place this morning? Yep, all right, yeah. Say, God can use me. I'm extraordinary. You're a masterpiece. God can use you to blow the socks off the world. You say, I don't know if I really believe that. Hebrews chapter 11 is commonly called the Hall of Faith, or the Heroes of Faith. It lists several men and women who did great things for God. And there's a few characters from the Old Testament. It mentions Noah, who built the ark, Abraham, who was a father of many nations, and the Jews came from him. And, you know, there's a Sunday school song about him. You know, Father Abraham has many sons. You know, I'm not going to sing it for you or do the actions. I'd probably get sick and throw up as I did the turnaround kind of thing, you know. Talks about Moses, who led Israel out of slavery after 400 years of bondage in Egypt. Talks about David, the shepherd boy, who defeated Goliath. And when we look at these people, we think of how awesome they were, how incredible they were. And we see them like superheroes. You know, they're killing giants. They're parting the Red Sea. They have control over the weather. I mean, you know, it's kind of like one of the superheroes you see on Infinity Wars or something like that, you know. And we look at them, and we think there's something extraordinary about them. But they were just ordinary, real people. And the great thing about the Bible is it doesn't put its heroes up on a pedestal. You look at Noah, who built the ark and saved the world. Do you realize that he got so drunk that he got butt naked in front of his kids, and his kids had to cover him up? I mean, that's what Noah did. I mean, you talk about being messed up. Moses. Moses kills a guy and then hides for 40 years before God can use him again. Abraham disobeys God. God brought him to the promised land, but there's a famine in the land. Instead of trusting God and staying in the promised land, he says, I've got to solve this problem on my own. He leaves the promised land. He disobeys God. He goes to Egypt. And in Egypt, he lies and he tells his wife to lie and say, tell Pharaoh, the president of the country, you're just my sister. Just tell him you're my sister, because I'm afraid when he finds out you're my wife, he's going to kill me so that he can marry you. You mean David has an affair with a married woman, gets her pregnant, and then has her husband killed trying to cover up the pregnancy. When you take a look at these heroes of faith, you realize that they really blew it. They really messed up. And here's the thing, and this is in your notes this morning. God honors us for our faith, not for our perfection. You see, when these men sinned, when they blew it, they realized they had done wrong, and they said, God, I am a sinner. And they put their faith, God, forgive me. I can't be forgiven. I can't do anything. God, you forgive me. And God forgave them, and He still used them. And God honors us when we step out in faith. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be super talented, super wise, have done everything right, dotted every I and crossed every T and been a perfect person for God to use you in an extraordinary, powerful way. He uses the weak, the lowly, the despised things of this world. God sees you as a masterpiece. So the question is, how do we position ourselves so that God can use us? Because there are certain things we can do that either set us up for saying, yeah, you're a candidate to be used of God, or, man, you're doing some stuff that really kind of excludes you. You're not up for it right now. What can we do? There's three things in your notes this morning. The first two, I'm going to give them together because they come out of the same scripture verse. Be available and be obedient. You need to be available. God, here I am. I volunteer. I'm willing. I will do whatever you want to do. And then when God speaks and says, well, I want you to do this. I want you to call this person. I want you to speak to this person. I want you to volunteer for this thing, this task, this ministry. Then you obey it. Be available and obedient. And the scripture we see this is in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. It's an account in the Old Testament where Isaiah, he has this vision of heaven, and he sees God in heaven, and the robe of God's glory, it fills the temple up in heaven. And this is what happens. The Lord speaks. He says, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Then Isaiah says, here am I. Send me us. I kind of see him like raising his hand. You know, like you do in school. Who's got the answer? Oh, me. I know. I'll do it. And that's what I see happening here. God says, who will go for us? Who will go for me? Who will I send? And Isaiah says, here am I. Send me. Isaiah volunteers. He says, I'm available. And then he goes as a prophet to the nation. He quits his job and he's a prophet to the nation of Israel for the next several decades. He's obedient. In my devotions this last week, I came across a story that really illustrates this principle really well. It's a story that took place 110 years ago. First-time candidate missionaries, John and, let's see, where's her name? Jesse. John and Jesse Perkins. They were called to Africa. And so they left, and in 1908, they're sailing on a steamship around Liberia. And on Christmas Day, God says, I want you to get off here. Now, the thing is, they knew they were called to Africa, but they didn't know where in Africa. So they says, okay, God, we're going to buy tickets, and wherever you tell us to get off, that's where we're getting off. How many know that's faith? That's being available. God didn't have a roadmap all planned out where you're going here and here and here. No, go to Africa. You know, that thing we all pray, oh, God, don't send me to Africa. No. But, you know, God said, go to Africa. So they says, oh, where? Go to, okay, so they went. Little did they know that there was a man whose name was Jasper Till, and he was an animist. He worshipped, you know, the animals, the creatures, the sun, the moon, the stars, and all this. But every night, several nights, he would go out and he'd look up in the sky and he'd say, God, if you're real, send someone to me. Tell me about yourself. He had this desire. He knew there had to be a God, but he knew nothing about him. He had no Bible. There were no preachers, no Christian radio, no Christian magazines. He's got nothing, but he says, God, send someone to me. And somehow, I don't know if he had a vision or a dream or what, but he felt this prompting that he needed to walk to Garraway Beach. It was a 7-day walk for him. So he departed, and he arrived at Garraway Beach Christmas 1908. It's Christmas Day 1908, and on the ship. And by the way, in this dream, this vision, whatever he had, God told him, you will see a box on the water with smoke coming out of it. And out of this big box, there will be a little box, and people will be in it. And this little box of people will come to you, and they will be the ones to tell you about me. And so he does not know what a ship is, never heard of a ship, doesn't see a ship. But he goes, and he sees this box on the water with steam coming out of it. And John and Jesse said to the captain, we need to get off here. And he says, wait a second. I'm not letting you off. Well, we're not stopping here. This is dangerous country. There are cannibals that live here. People get off here and they never come back. You never see them again. Now, I don't know about you, but that doesn't sound too good, does it? But they were available, and God says, get off, and they got off, and it's Garraway Beach. And they put them in a canoe, and they lower them down and all of their belongings in this canoe, and they make their way, and they get to shore, and there's Jasper Till. And they don't speak the same language. They don't speak the same language, so they can't communicate. And Jasper just began to, like, you know, come with me, and he's pointing to God. You know, somehow, some way, he communicated to them to come with me. And so they walk for 7 days. Do you wonder what they're thinking? They're walking for a week. It's like, God, you know, I mean, you think about this. You know what? We're going to turn around and go back, try to find the ship again, you know. No, they're obedient. They just keep going. They get to the village. They settle in the village. They learn the language. They start a church. And their first convert is Jasper Toe. And over the next several years, the Perkins and Jasper plant hundreds of churches all over Liberia. People who met Jasper Toe said he was one of the most godliest men I've ever known. And God impacted an entire nation because one missionary couple and one man were simply available and obedient. God's not looking for some superhero, someone with some superhuman gifts. He's looking for someone who just says, hey, God, here am I. Use me. What's the third thing? The last thing we need to position ourselves, we need to be humble. We need to be humble. The last part of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 31, it says, therefore, as the scriptures say, if you want to boast, boast only about the Lord. You see, God will not share his glory with someone else. He won't do that. And so, when God uses you, you're giving all the glory to God. And that's the thing. We need to prepare. We need to plan. We use our gifts. We are masterpieces, yes. But we need to be praying and say, God, if you don't show up, God, I'm dead in the water. We need a reliance upon God as we do these good works that he's called us to do. And here's the thing. There's some of you here this morning. Maybe you have a good friend or a family member, and they're going through a really difficult situation, and you've said, hey, I'll pray for you. And the reason you say that is because God's told you to talk to them, but you say, I have no idea what I would say to them. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. So instead of risking and stepping out, I'll pray for you, brother. Yep, I'll lift you up in prayer. And here's the thing. You're waiting for God to download and show you where to get off in Africa and what village you're going to go to and everything that's going to take place. And that's not how God works. God a lot of times just says, go. Who will go for me? Here am I. And I believe that as you step and as you make that phone call or you visit that person and you hear their story, and I've been in situations like this where someone says something and I have nothing to say. But in the moment when they're waiting for a response, I open my mouth, and you know what happens? God fills it. It's like what he said to Moses, I will be with your mouth, and I'll teach you what to say. I'll be with your mouth, and I'll show you what to do. And I've seen God do that in my life, in witnessing to someone, in praying for someone, and talking to someone who's hurting, someone who's going through a very difficult time. I have no idea. God, I'm not wise. I'm not powerful. I don't know, but I'm willing. I'm available. I'm obedient. And as you step out, when you do, the Holy Spirit will download in you the words to say, the things to do to make an impact in someone's life. We just need to be available and obedient. Some of you this morning, you're like, you know what? God's been speaking to me about serving in my local church, to get involved in the nursery or in children's ministry or in the food pantry or in the worship team. Some of you, you can play guitar, but you've been hiding your guitar under a bushel. And you say, no, I'm not going to get up on stage. I'm not going to play. I'm not going to use my voice. And yet God says, you've got this ability. You connect with God. You worship God. You love God. And God wants you to use that gift to draw people into his presence. God wants you to connect with teens or to connect with kids, because there might be a kid in the youth group or in the kids ministry that they come from a horrible background. Everything's darkness, but there's something in you and there's a connection and they see the light of God and you give them hope. You give them a vision and you begin to connect with that kid, you begin to mentor him, and God uses them, raises them up to be the next Billy Graham or the Chuck Swindoll or Darlene Check or whoever it might be. And God wants to use you to impact the next generation. We're starting life groups up again. God's calling some of you to be a life group leader or a life group host, where you're just providing an environment where people can connect, people pray for each other, people feel supported, people feel encouraged. They don't feel alone. I'm not walking through life alone as a Christian. I've got a family that cares about me. That's what takes place in life groups. God wants you to serve, and God has been calling some of you to serve, but you've said, nah, I'm too busy, I'm not available, I'm not willing. And God's knocking on your heart saying, who's going to go for me? Who can I see? The phone's ringing. God's calling for you right now. You're going to pick up the phone and answer it? See, God's calling you right now. He says, pick up the phone and say yes. I love it when things like that happen. It's for me. Tell him I'll call him back later. Some of you, maybe God's saying you need to forgive someone. You need to forgive somebody. I want to use you, but this bitterness in your life, it's holding you back. And if you would just release them and forgive them, God would put you on a different trajectory, and you'd begin to be used by God in phenomenal ways. Maybe some of you, God's saying, you need to be the one that calls and apologizes. And by doing that, it's going to tear down some hurt and some pain, and it's going to be the work of a powerful restorative work in someone's life. What is God saying to you today? Are you available? And will you be obedient when God says, I want you to forgive or ask forgiveness? I want you to serve. I want you to say, God, here am I, send me. Will you do what God is asking you to do?
We hope that you've enjoyed today's message, and thanks again for joining us on the Casper Faith Podcast.